They got you rowdy, didn't they? I just want to take a few minutes of your time to welcome you to the Avatar Masters Network and to tell you some of my favorite stories. Micah knows that the Pro Course is my favorite course. I think it's everybody's favorite course. And so she broke the news to me that she wanted me to give a talk by saying, "Harry, it's an opportunity to promote the Pro Course." She's cool. I walked into her office and I said, "Micah, don't worry, everybody wants to do the Pro Course." But I was going to accept her invitation because, I mean, who wouldn't take the opportunity to tell their favorite stories to a captive audience? But I noticed that Avra was behind a door and was behind me, and I saw an opportunity to tease, a tease-portunity. So I just said to Micah, "Nah, I don't wanna." She looks up and she says, "Okay, don't talk about the Pro Course. Just talk about anything." And then she added, "It's just to show people that you're normal." And now behind me, Avra's waving her hand so I can't see them to get Micah's attention. She's going, she thinks it's a bad idea. And I say, "So Micah, I can talk about anything, huh?" And behind me, Avra's starting to panic. And Micah says, "Sure." They're already feeling good. They just want to get to know what you are really like. And behind me, Avra's going, "What?" So here I am with permission has been granted to talk about anything. Trainers try to catch Avra if she faints. Actually, I tease her, but don't you think that she's wonderful? And I didn't even mention that you have a birthday coming up. In the past, I gave advice to masters, and I said there are two modes of operation. And the first mode is called whacking at the beast. And this means that you're working steadily and making some progress, doing whatever needs to be done. And the second mode of operation is celebrating victory. And celebrating victory is the feeling that you have when the job is done. But have you ever noticed how tired you are when you finish a job? That's not a good time to celebrate victory. So I think people should celebrate victory anytime they take a break from whacking at the beast. I mean, the only people who have to wait to the end of the job to celebrate victory are the ones who have secondaries about their success. So here's a free moment. How does it feel to have successfully created an enlightened planetary civilization? Woo! Yeah. Good job. But you know, sometimes even the best advice misses the mark. And I recently learned that in Australia, the expression whacking at the beast is slang for masturbation. I think I know why Australia was so quick to embrace Avatar. You know, we don't recognize failure or discouragement as modes of operation, even though that's where most of the world is. Can you imagine taking a break from your discouraging job and celebrating failure? Plenty of people are doing it, but not avatars. Avatars are source beings. You are making source beings, beings that are personally responsible for their own life. Source being is a powerful creator. No excuses, no blame. There's a scale of activity in this universe that has been badly violated for a long time. And the scale goes like this. First, you make a source being, somebody who's responsible for their own beliefs. And that's the step that has been missing. And it's been camouflaged by a lot of opinionated indoctrination that preaches, well, this is what you should believe. And once you have a source being, the next activity is to begin taking responsibility for the world, to increase the care, understanding, compassion in the world. And everyone pretty much agrees that the world would be better if there were more care and understanding. But we've been trying to bring that about, acting from being an indoctrinated puppet rather than acting as a source being. People who don't become source talk about helping the world, but they don't do very much. So avatar was the step that was missing. And the result that you're looking for when you deliver avatar to someone is a source being. I know some masters used to believe that when their avatar believed exactly what they believed, it was cool. It's scary to turn a puppet into a source being. And some people are so frightened by the idea that they'll do anything they can to stay a puppet and will even try to persuade you to be a puppet. They won't be able to pull your strings if you become a source being. Well, that's their problem, huh? The truth is that the more source you become, the kinder you become, and the more difference you can make in the world. So as a master, you're in the business of making source beings. And that means you have to stay source yourself. You have to be ready to remind yourself that you are source and that you care enough about other beings to make them source. And that's why I say, deliver avatar to as many people as you can, as soon as you can. Try this one more time. How does it feel to have successfully created an enlightened planetary civilization? One of the commonly asked questions is, do I really believe we can create an enlightened planetary civilization? And the short answer is, yes, absolutely. No secondaries. I believe that the future depends upon the choices that you make or don't make right now, today. And I know that it would be better for each of us, for our families, for our friends, if we were to live in a more enlightened civilization. And every time that you deliver Avatar correctly, the world moves a little bit in that direction. Maybe it only moves a fraction of an inch, but it moves. Have you ever had the feeling that you can't make a difference? Let me help you label that feeling. It's called discouragement. And the primary obstruction between where we are today and an enlightened planetary civilization is discouragement. And discouragement consists of secondaries that seem bigger than the primary. And how do you handle them? You could chip away at them. Perseverance, whack at the beast. Do the pro course. That was for you, Mike. If you limit yourself to only doing what you know you can do, you won't create any miracles. And you'll discover that a lot of people are working very hard for things that in the end won't make them happy, and they know it, but they also know that they can succeed if they work for that. So this is how people become embittered and unhappy. They're successfully creating the things that they don't want because they know they will succeed. They stay in their rut even though they hate it. Also, they don't run into some big secondary. Now, creating an enlightened planetary civilization is an ambitious task. And when you make that as a primary, the secondaries line up out of sight, you know. But there's only one secondary that will stop you, and that's discouragement. So what is the source of discouragement? This is one of the things that's addressed on the professional course. I'm going to just touch on it lightly. There's a concept called life purpose. And life purpose is an unconscious intention that steers your life. And it's unconscious because it was made before your mind developed. And there are clues in your life that will allow you to extrapolate what your life purpose is, but I don't want to get into that right now. What I do want to say is that for one reason or another, we've all had life purposes interrupted because of war, famine, plague, somebody dropped a brick on your head, disasters, and a new lifetime has begun. And with a new viewpoint and a new life purpose and maybe even a new gender added into the mix. But the unfinished purpose now carries forward as a hidden secondary. This is the source of discouragement. And the permanent cure for discouragement is locating these hidden secondaries, the ones that drag you out of alignment with your good intentions, and discreate them. And these secondary purposes, even though they may be the most obvious influence in your life, are usually unknown to you. And when they're discovered and they're discreated, a wonderful thing happens. You regain total confidence in your ability to create. You don't hold yourself back. You regain energy and purpose. And this is the attitude that professionals have. And some people describe it as the power to make an unstoppable primary. One of the things you realize is that you could be working for the benefit of that eternal part of you and confronting secondaries head on, rather than wasting your time with one step forward, one step back. And right after that realization, you look around for something useful to do. And that's where contributing to the creation of an enlightened civilization comes in. If you have some secondaries, don't despair. Until you do the Pro Course, you have the Life Alignment Program in resurfacing, and you have the discouragement drill to keep you on track. Any discouragement that you encounter, you can handle by increasing your efforts 5 times. And this simple drill is the most valuable secret to success. If someone tells you that Avatar is a bad thing and an enlightened civilization is an impossible dream, after you stop laughing, you contact 5 people and you explain to them why Avatar is a good thing and how it improves lives by making people healthier, happier, more powerful, more compassionate, more caring. And you see, that's 5 positive messages making people healthier, happier, more powerful, more compassionate, more caring for the discouraging secondary. You put in 5 times the creative power that the critic originated to discourage. Because the critic's power is very limited, but yours is unlimited. It's like meeting one of those little keychain flashlights with a searchlight. It's a tug of war between a mountain-sized source being and an ant-sized victim. That's why I say that the future generations are depending on you. And it applies not only to delivering Avatar, but also to any positive thing that you do. And don't even bother to measure the size of the secondary, because it's not going to last. Keep whacking at the beast, because you never know. In 1859, Clarence Adams and Cornelius Vanderbilt formed a mining company in Nevada. And they were looking for gold, but would have happily settled for silver, copper, or even lead. But after digging a tunnel 250 yards under a mountain, the only thing they found was more granite. And their expenses were mounting. And the granite was breaking their drills. And they grew discouraged and they decided, give up. And they sold the leases and the mining equipment to a local man for pennies on the dollar, and were happy to get rid of it. And the new owner drove the mine another couple of feet, and he struck a deposit of silver ore that was the size of a lake. And his name was Thomas Comstock, and his silver mine, which turned out to be worth billions, is called the Comstock Lode. It's a true story. And the moral is, never give up. Never give in to discouragement. Move forward. There's a classic Buddhist story that I like to tell. It's one of Avra's favorites. Two neighbors are talking. One says to the other, "Your son is very lucky to have a fine white horse." And the farmer replies, "You never know." And a few weeks later, the white horse runs away, and the neighbor says, "Your son is very unlucky to lose such a fine white horse. You must be very discouraged." And the farmer replies, "You never know." That week passed, and the white horse returns, and it brings a wild horse with it. And the neighbor says, "Whoa, your son is very lucky to have his horse come back and bring a wild horse with it." And the farmer says, "You never know." And that week, the son is thrown from the wild horse and he breaks his leg. And the neighbor says, "Oh, your son is very unlucky to get thrown from a wild horse and break his legs. He must be very discouraged." And the farmer says,
"Yeah."
And a week later, a soon-to-be-defeated army is formed, and all of the able-bodied men in the village are inscripted into the army. But because the farmer's son has a broken leg, he's left behind. What a great attitude, huh? Here's another story that I find amazing. A few years ago, scientists had a discussion about what the largest living organism was. A blue whale can weigh 200 tons. A giant sequoia weighs 4,500 tons. But in 1992, a mushroom mycelium web was found in Washington State that covered 1,500 acres. And they ran a DNA test to establish that all of the mushrooms were from the same organism. And no one knew how much it weighed, but they figured that if you stretched out the mycelium web, it would reach to the moon. One organism. New way of space travel, right? I'm going to grow in space. And after they began DNA testing, they found a grove of aspen trees in the Wasatch Mountains of Utah that were growing from a common root, and every time a tree was cut, another tree would spring up from this root. They estimated that the age of the root was over 1 million years old, and that the grove covered 106 acres, and it supported 47,000 living trees. It's one organism. And its estimated weight was 260 million pounds. And it's one living organism. The researchers called the grove Pando, and they guessed that Pando would probably survive as long as the earth was inhabitable. Almost an immortal being. Amazing, huh? And the definition that the scientists were using for organism was any living structure having diverse parts that functions together as a whole. And now if you consider that when the Avatar Masters network of diverse masters functioning as a whole, we could be considered one organism. And our organism encircles the globe and grows bigger every day. And I'd estimate that the total weight of Avatar Masters is but we're not as heavy as Pando, but we're a lot more mobile. Have you ever wondered how they steer a super tanker? These are things I think about. Well, a super tanker is huge. It's like 10 football fields long, and the rudder can weigh 50 tons. And if you just imagine how much energy it would take to turn that rudder against the flow of water when the ship's going through the ocean. It's sort of like trying to change the direction of a civilization. But there's a secret to the ship's rudder. On the back of the 50-ton rudder is a smaller rudder, and on the back of the smaller rudder are still smaller rudders, which they call trim tabs. And turning the trim tab steers the smaller rudder, and the smaller rudder steers the larger rudder, and the larger rudder steers the ship. You can't make a sharp turn with a super tanker. You have to plan a little ways ahead. The lesson of Alaska. But here's the point. The Avatar Masters network is like the trim tabs on the small rudder that steers the large rudder that steers civilization. So, do I believe that we can create an enlightened planetary civilization? Of course, absolutely. One more story. In Buddhism, there's a concept of taking refuge in something. Taking refuge means turning to something that will comfort you, keep you safe during turbulent times. And there are three things that the Buddhist takes refuge in, and they're called the three precious jewels. And the first jewel is, I take refuge in the Buddha. And Buddha is another way of referring to undefined awareness. And when you say, I take refuge in the Buddha, you're reminding yourself of your essential, indestructible nature. And when you remember that you're indestructible, you say, bring it on. The second jewel is, I take refuge in the Dharma. And Dharma is any teaching or world lesson that helps wisdom to unfold. Avatar is your Dharma. And the third jewel is, I take refuge in the Sangha. And the Sangha are the group of people that support you with compassion and understanding. They're the people that you can be real with, that you can trust. Star's Edge is your Sangha. So when you say, I find refuge in the Buddha, by remembering that my essence is indestructible. I find refuge in the Dharma by knowing that I have the ability to control my own life. I find refuge in the Sangha by knowing I have trusted friends. So you have the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. And I want to say to you that I have great respect for you, and that I accept you as my Sangha. And my advice is, live your life as a spiritual practice. Make lots of new avatars. Contribute to the creation of an enlightened planetary civilization. And that's the most precious gift you can give to the world. Thank you very much.